Okay, Parsha Shmini. So Bina B'chai starts with the Pasuk in Pasuk in Mishlei, as always, in Perek Tes, Pasuk Aleph. It says, Chachmos ban Sabesa, with wisdom she built her house, Chatzva Amudah Shiva, and she made the seven pillars, Tavcha, Tivcha, Mascha, Yena, Afarcha, Shalchana, she shechtede, prepared the wine, prepared the table, she's got the whole suit of prepared. And it goes on, the Pasuk will go on to say that she is a highly competent person that's got everything together, and she tells people to go to Chachma. Izu psayim v'chiyu, ishu b'derech mina, go in the way of wisdom, don't be a letz, go to Chachma, go to wisdom, and that's how you'll succeed. That's the good lady. The one who's competent, the one who tells people to go to wisdom, to go away from foolishness. And that, Rabbeinu B'chai says, is referring to Yahadus in general. That's the good woman who's highly competent and tells people to go on the way of wisdom. And then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it goes on to say about the Eshes Ksilus, the foolish lady, who's completely incompetent and tells people who are straight to go off and to Mayim Genuvim Bimtaku, Lechem Satarim Yinam, that stolen water tastes good. Right? She tells people to go to sin, and sin in different ways, and to go away from wisdom, and people don't realize anyone who gets involved with this lady is gonna go down to Gehenna, be destroyed. So that's the, he says, is the Torah comparing Yadus to the others. That Yadus brings a person to wisdom, is competent, he brings a person to success, and wisdom and success in their lives, in Ruchnius, and reaching high levels, as opposed to the others, which lead a person to sin and to physicality and to emptiness. So that's the bad Isha. He also brings a medrash that says Chachmas ban Sabesa refers to the Torah itself, that the Torah created the world. The Torah created the world, and the seven pillars refer to the seven olamos. And the medrash says Zach Adam is Asikbav. Someone is Osek in Torah. He's Nochel Sheva Aratos. So the Torah came from the seven Rikiyim, the seven different levels of heaven, and someone who is Osik in Torah will get the seven earths. What are the seven earths? Rebbe B'chai says there are seven different climates, and so there are seven different parts of earth, so you're a Nochel earth. And if not, they get taken away from earth. But what's fascinating about all this is the number seven. So Rebbe B'chai says that seven is an important number in mitzvahs, because a lot of mitzvahs revolve around the number seven. As we all know, there's Shabbos, which is the seventh day of the week. There's Shemitah, which is seventh year. Yovel, which is after seven sevens. Pesach is 7 days. Sukkot is 7 days. Here's one you wouldn't have thought of. The Dalaminim are seven. Really? They're four. No, they're not. They're seven, because they're three Hadassim, two Aravos, one Lulav, one Esrog. Seven. So the Dalaminim are really seven, too. And there are 7 days of Simcha for a Chasen, 7 days of Avelos for an Avel. Lots of things with seven, he says. Also, we're talking about all this in the introduction to Shmini, and that is because Shmini starts with the Shivas, there were 7 days of Miluim, Shiva Yimei Miluim, and on the eighth day is when Aaron starts working as the Kohen, but there were seven preparatory days where Moshe was the Kohen. So there were seven Yimei Miluim. So he says, it's one reason for all of this. There's a reason why all these things are seven. Not entirely clear what. He does say that it's Yirmos L'Shivas Yimei Breishis. It's a remez to the 7 days of creation. He doesn't really explain more than that. But what's fascinating is that there's 7, 7, 7, 7 in all these mitzvahs that we just mentioned, and that seems to be a theme. And yet, in the Beis HaMikdash, what's interesting is that there's a theme of eight. Everything's eight. Like, there were 7 days of Miluim, but it was on the eighth day that Aaron actually starts working in the Beis HaMikdash. Furthermore, how many big day kahuna were there? Eight of the Kohen Gadol. He wore eight special clothes. For a carbon to be brought on the base in the base of Migdash, it had to be around for 8 days. The calf had to be 8 days old. He says that there were 8 different instruments used during the when they brought the Karban Tavid. So you see a theme of 8. What that theme is, he doesn't really explain in any way that I can tell. He did mention by the Shipmi maybe Lurim that the Kohen Gadol was one above that, and again, he doesn't exactly explain here. I think most of us are familiar with the concept of Sheva being this world and Shemona being the next world. But there's 8 things. Anyway, just pointing out to Ha'ara that it seems in the Beis HaMikdash there's a theme of 8. This is his Ha'ara, not mine, obviously. In the Beis HaMikdash there's a theme of 8. In general mitzvahs there seems to be a theme of 7. Okay. Now, the Pasuk says, also very interesting, the second Pasuk in the Parsha says that Hashem tells Aaron he should bring an egel for achatas, a calf for achatas, and an ayel for an ola. And when it comes to Bnei Yisrael, the next Pasuk says, take a sir izim for achatas and an egel for an ola. So, Rebbe Bechai points out, of course, not many people want to notice this, egel, right? The egel was, a part of this was a kapara on them bringing the egel hazav. So, it's interesting that for Aaron, the egel is achatas, and for the Bnei Yisrael, the egel is an ola. So Rebbe Bechai asks, why is that? And he says, because a chatas is a carbon you bring for doing a bad action. Certainly a shoge chatas would be a bad action that you didn't have any intention to do the avera. You just did an action that was bad, like shoge, someone's mechal Shabbos, whatever. You bring a carbon chatas on a bad action, often, typically, without, because you didn't think about it. Say a chatas on Shabbos would be because you didn't think you're doing anything bad, but you did an action that's bad. An ola is for a bad thought. So, Aaron made the egel. It was a bad action, not a bad thought. Aaron had the purest of intentions in mind, right? However you explain what he did, he certainly had the purest of intentions in mind. He was trying to delay them, whatever the idea was, he thought he would go slow, and then they did, they threw in that magic and made the egel come out magically. Whatever the reason is why Aaron felt he should be the one to make the egel azav, his intentions were pure. He was trying to save the Jewish people. And so therefore he brought a chatas, which is about a bad action, not a bad thought. Klal Yisrael, at least the ones that sinned, so they had bad thoughts. So that's why they had to bring an egel for an ola, and his was a chatas. I thought that was fascinating. Then we have the story of Nadav and Abihu who sinned. They brought the Eish Zara. Rabbeinu Bechai points out that Rashi holds that they brought their korban lefnai v'lefnim. And if you look in Achrimos, you'll see it says Aaron, when he goes lefnai v'lefnim on Yom Kippur, he should do the following things that Aaron does on Yom Kippur, or any time he goes into the Kodesh Kedoshim, so he doesn't die, Rashi says, like Nadav and Avihu died, which makes it sound like Nadav and Avihu went lefnai v'lefnim. That's what the Ibn Ezra says as well, but the Ramban disagrees and says they did not go lefnai v'lefnim. Also, Rabbeinu Bechai points out, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, that this is where Chazal learned the how to do the Misa of Sreifa. In other words, one of the Dalad Misos that based in kills with is Sreifa. So when a person is Chayev Sreifa, we learn from Nadav and Avihu that they don't get burnt in a fire, but rather it's their insides that get burnt, like what happened to Nadav and Avihu, that the there was an Eish that came down from Shemaim and went into Nadav and Avihu's noses and killed them, but their bodies were fine. Their clothes were fine. Yeah, nothing was burnt on the outside, it was just on the inside things were burnt. So too, when Beis Din does Misa Sreifa, they melt some lead and throw it down the guy's throat, so his insides are destroyed, but his clothes and outside is not destroyed. And this is also where we also learn that the same thing happened to Sancheiriv. That's the Gemara in Sanhedrin says also in Tzadi Dalad that when the famous story was Sancheiriv came with his army and they laid siege to Yerushalayim and Chizkiyahu and Yeshaya davened, and because of their tefillah, Rabbeinu Bechai points out, it's because of their tefillah, the whole Sancheiriv army is wiped out and they died in the same way. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that their bodies were fine, it was just their insides, something was destroyed, their soul left them, but their clothes were left intact, and he said, the Gemara says really, that I'm sorry, the Medrash, the Rabbeinu Bechai is bringing the Medrash that says the reason why the people from the soldiers of Sancheiriv were zocha to this is because they were from Shem, and the if you remember the story with Noach, that Shem and Yefes covered Noach. So because they were from them, they were zocha to they had a schus about clothes that they covered Noach with, right? So they had a certain schus about clothing, and therefore their clothing stayed intact. Interesting idea. And just to point out, the Rabbeinu Bechai actually says that the soldiers of Sennacherib were from Yefes, and Yefes also had this schus. The Medrash, it says it's coming from, mentions Shem. I believe Asher is from Shem. Okay, I'm not sure what to do with that. Anyway, moving on, we have this almost an aside, interesting ha'ara that the Rabbeinu Bechai points out, that in Pasuk, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Dalet, it says, Ma'ikra Moshel Mishal Bel Atzafon B'nei Uziel Doda Haron. Fascinating ha'ara. It says, Moshe called to Mishal and Atzafon, sons of Uziel, uncle of Aaron. And Rashi says, on the words, uncle of Aaron, Uziel achi Amram haya. Shneamar quotes the pasuk that Uziel was Amram's brother. So Rabbeinu Bechai doesn't understand what Rashi wants with that. What are you telling me? Yeah, I get it. Aaron was. I can read the pasukim. I know Uziel was Amram's brother. What does Rashi mean? What does the pasuk mean by telling me that it was Aaron's uncle? He says it's coming to tell you that he was just like Aaron, that he was an Oif Shalom and a Rodev Shalom. That's fascinating. All right. Almost like an aside. Anyway, we talk about, the Pesukim talking about not going into the Beis HaMikdash drinking wine. So Rabbeinu Bechai says that wine causes three things. One, makes you sleepy. Two, makes you a Baal Gaiva. And three, obviously messes with your Seichel. So he says that the Pesukim are Meramis to all three things. Because it says, do not drink wine, Bevoachem El Moed. Because when you come to El Moed, of course you can't even sit. You have to stand, you can't sleep there. That's how he's to hint to that. And then it says, and he says, someone who has gases haruach, everything's the same to him, he can't be mavdol ben kodesh l'chol. And the horus is b'nei Yisrael, it causes bilbul asecho, so you can't pasuk it. Okay. But then he quotes this pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Lamed Aleph. Most of us are familiar with. It says, al teri yayin ki is adam. That part most of us are familiar with. Which is basically telling you, don't drink too much wine. And the pasuk continues, Ki yitain bakos eino. That's how it's pronounced, anyway. Because it brings its color to the kos, whatever. But that's the kri. The way you read it is, Ki yitain bakos eino. Or, right, to put its eye on the kos, or it lends its color to the kos. But the kri, the way it's written, is kiss. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, because somebody, they're too involved with wine, they'll become poor. They spend all their money. It becomes a big chisar and kiss. Ki itin ba kiss eino. And then yishalech b'meisharim, his money will flow away quickly. So one of the downsides of being addicted to alcohol, besides all the others, is that it quickly depletes a person's funds. Okay. Then we go on to the parshas of the behemoths, of which are the kosher behemoths. And now the Rabbeinu Bechai says there's this famous idea, which are brought in so many Rishonim, about the four different yesodos. There's the afar, mayim, ruach, and esh. The four different yesodos, dirt, or earth, water, wind, and fire. So he says that in the list of the species that you are allowed to eat, it goes in ascending order, starting Afar is the lowest, then Mayim is next, then Ruach is next, and Eish is next. And that's how we list the kosher species. Why it does it that way? I don't know if that was so clear, but that's the order it's going in. So therefore, it starts off with first with Behema. That's the first level, as the Pasuk says. Zosachaya asher tochluma kol ha-behema asher al ha-aretz. That's the first level is Afar. So that is the behemoths. Then it is followed by the fish, which is the mayim, followed by the birds, which is ruach, they fly in the air, and then followed by esh. Now, how do you figure that esh? Well, in the shratzim, it says the tzav, which one version is this salamander, salamandra. So this salamander, whatever it is, was supposed to be something that was created in fire and lives in fire. I don't know exactly what it is, but that's how it goes in that order. And he says that the four different types of behemoths that the Torah specifically mentions are not kosher, right? There's only four. Now, as we know, it has to have, for an animal to be kosher to eat, it has to have split hooves and chew its cud. But that's really an assay, meaning the Torah says, you shall eat animals that split their hooves and chew their cud. There's only four that it says you shall not eat. So if somebody asks you, just as a trivia question, how do you know you can't eat horse meat? Is it a los assay? The answer is no, it is not a los assay. It's a lav haba mechlal assay. Torah says it must have split hooves and chew its cud, and this does not, so it's a lav haba mechlal assay, which is an assay. But the los assay of do not eat, there's only four of those. The four different, the chazir, the arneves, right, the camel, the four that it lists, those are the four that you can't eat. So he says those four that are specifically mentioned are a remez. This is based on Midrashim, are remez to the Dalet Galiuses, the four different Galiuses that are compared to those different animals. As we all are familiar with, Chazir is Rome, and the others, different Midrashim about what each one represents. But as far as the Rome being Doma to Chazir, so he brings different Midrashim. One is that Shasid Lachzir Alein, the Medrash says, why is Rome compared to a Chazir? So here's some. So it says she'asid l'hachzir aleihem midas hadin. It's called chazir because it will be chozer on them midas hadin. In other words, they'll eventually have to pay for destroying the Beis Hamikdash and all the tragedies they've caused us for all the subsequent years. Another one is, and this is unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable, she'asid l'hachzir ha'tera l'yoshna. That's another gears he brings, that they're called the chazir because they will eventually bring us back what we lost. And the Rabbeinu Bachai says that they will build the third Beis HaMikdash. You heard it here first. The Romans, or Malchus Romi, whatever that is going to rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash. Absolutely incredible. And then he brings the final one, which is Asid L'Hachzir Lanu, that the pig will be returned to us. Shabbina Bechai says, do not think like many people think that means that when Mashiach comes, Chazir will be kosher. No. It means that the Koach of the Chazir will, whatever that is, the Koach of Rome, whatever their Koach of Chazir is in Shemayim, that will, instead of hurting us, will be, help us. Okay. In explaining the reason why Ophos Temeim are Temeim, he says, similar to what he said by Karbanos, that we want carnivorous ones, the animals that attack, are always non-kosher, and the birds that attack are non-kosher, because the Torah wants us to eat calm, nice birds, just like our karbanos there. If they're attacking animals, we can't bring them as a karban, because the Torah wants us to be aluvim and amolvim. They want us to have those midos of not attacking, but rather accepting and being humble. And also he says another reason is, it's also interesting, that Nichush, which is some type of magic's not the right word, but they do some kind of mystical stuff. The guy used to do magic or mystical stuff with birds. So they only would use tummy birds for that. So that's why we can't eat it. That's another reason, he says. Okay, it's a fascinating, also he says about the snake. We know there's Shmona Shratzim, there are a lot of, that the Shmona Shratzim are tummy. There are eight Shratzim rather, that are, they're not just can't eat them, they're tummy. Meaning if you touch them, you become tummy. So Rabbeinu Bechai asks a fascinating question. Well, how could a Nachash not be in that list? Why is a snake not something that if you touch it, you become tummy? Isn't the snake the source of all tummy in the world? Isn't that an interesting question? How could it be that the snake, if you touch it, you're not tummy, and the Shmona Shratzim, when you touch them, you are tummy? Isn't the snake the source of all tummy in the world? Any answers? Ready for this? Because if Hashem made it that there was tumah from touching a snake, people would be afraid to kill it. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it's hard for us to think about it, but in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, people were really, really, really against becoming tummy. There's stories, you know, that someone was stabbed in the Beis HaMikdash, and the father of the son who was stabbed was all worried about the knife that was stabbed into his son's heart to get it out of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's tummy, you have to get it out of the Beis HaMikdash. To save the knife. they were so obsessed with Tumah Vatara when that this father, when his son was dying, was worried about the knife becoming tummy. Maybe they could get it to take a tim and get the son out. Everybody was very, very hyper-focused on Tumah Vatara. So because of that, people wouldn't want to become tummy. They'd see a snake, they wouldn't want to touch it because they don't want to become tummy, and then it might be dangerous. So therefore, that's why he says, Rebbe Mechai says, Hashem made it that a snake isn't metame, because otherwise people would be afraid to kill it. Very interesting. Okay. Now we know for food, the Torah tells us, for food to become tummy, right, it has to be mukshar lakabal tumma. If you just touch, someone touches an apple, stam, it doesn't become tummy, even if they're very tummy, unless it was mukshar lakabal tumma, which means it got ready to become tummy. And how do you do that? You put water on it on purpose. If water is, somebody wants water to be there on the fruit, then it becomes tummy. So he says, why is that? What's the Indian of water? And he says, because, not with a lot of explanation, but he just says, by putting water on the fruit or the food, you make it that tuma can now stick to it. It just sounded interesting to me because we know in the physical world that it is that way. Well, it's for if you once something gets wet, bacteria can grow on it and can more easily get destroyed. So that may be the physical world mirroring the spiritual world, that once there's water on it, then tuma can attach to it. Anyway, towards the end of the parasha, it says that if you eat tray foods, if you eat tamtem bum, it doesn't say that it's mesem bum. It looks like it says tamtem bum. So we say that it causes timtum alev, closes the heart, which Rabbi Mechai says ruach hakodesh cannot be shora on a person. You can't have ruach hakodesh if a person eats treif. So for those who keep treif, for those who are nizer and kashrus, they can get ruach hakodesh. People who eat non-kosher food, it could cause timtum alev, and ruach hakodesh can't be shora on that person. It's a very serious thing. And then toward the end of the parsha says, "Viskadishtem v'yisim kedoshim ki kadoshani." You will be holy and you will become holy because I am holy. So Chazal. So well, let's start with this. Rabbi Mechai says that the purpose of mitzvos, all of mitzvos, is to weaken taiva, because he says the natural desires of a person, or a person is born with their physical desires, and spiritual, intellectual pursuits, this world is not into that. In other words, the idea of being dedicated to the spiritual, everything in Olam Hazeh goes against that. It's the spiritual is from another world. So it needs help conquering taivas. So therefore Hashem gave us mitzvahs to help strengthen our koach haseichel, our ruchnius, and therefore he gave us kashrus, to keep us away from bad foods. He gave us laws of arayos. He gave us tefillah. He says tainis, fasting, tzedakah, chesed. All of these mitzvos, he says, they're all to weaken. He mentions those specifically. Kashrus, arayos, davening, fasting, tzedakah, gemilas chesedim. All those are to weaken taiva, to make us be more connected to the spiritual and weaken the physical desire, the physical taiva that is so difficult to overcome. He also says that from the word Viskadashtam Isim Kedoshim, we learn also that even in things that the Torah doesn't ask, even the things that are technically mutter, a person shouldn't overindulge. A person should be Kadosh, because through Precious, a person can become, again, more attached to Ruchnius, and otherwise a person can be a novel Meshusa Torah, like we know from the famous Ramban and Parshas Kedoshim. That if a person eats stuff their face all day and engages in all their taivas, even if they're all okay, that's a lack of iskadishtem, and a person to be connected to ruchnius, they can't be so involved in gashrius. And lastly, Chazal learned from this also, make a drasha of iskadashtem is mayim rishonim, v'isim kedushim is mayim achronim, ki kadashani is shemen orev, which means, before you eat, you have to wash your hands. After you eat, you wash your hands. And you have this good-smelling oil. So he says, the Torah is teaching us with that, that we also have to have nikius when eating. Especially eating is a very taivadika thing to do. So before we eat, we wash our hands to keep nikiyas haguf, and afterwards we wash our hands for nikiyas haguf, and we have this shemen arev, which I don't know today, but we have this shemen arev, this good smelling oil. He says that's odor of the nefesh, and then you're ready to bench to be mevarech Hashem. So that's all the Torah's mitzvahs are to keep us in line with that. And I guess we'll stop here.